Good morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Joins us on Thursdays at about this time. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, good to have you. So the first question, which I think for the last like 6 weeks have mostly had the same answer to it, but it's okay. It is still the question worth asking. Anything happening in the city? Any crimes that we ought to know about that we don't already know about?
No. We had a shots fired call last night near Sanders Beach, but no damage, no victims, and no shell casings were found. So it was just the call. But, yeah, it's been a long time, and I knock on wood. I hope it stays that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, one of these things where you got to kind of wonder, like, what lessons might we learn about crime and drops in crime? I mean, the crime in the city is like, I mean, and same for in the county. It's just, it's not nothing, but it's way down, right?
Yeah, and I think it's a national trend. I think it's like that way across the country that crime overall, especially major violent crimes, forcible felonies are down. And I hope somebody studies this COVID-19 crime reduction, because I'm scratching my head. I don't know how it happened. And, you know, are the bad guys listening and staying inside and doing what they're supposed to do for the first time in their lives? I don't know.
It's a little hard to reconcile what we know about criminal psychology with that lining up with social distancing obedience, right? I mean, it just doesn't seem to be the kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, if they're doing like they're told and staying inside and social distancing, that's a great thing. But, you know, I wish they would just, you know, obey the law, too, once this is over with.
Well, and what I think what we're learning is from a young age, we shouldn't be telling people to obey the law. We should tell people to wear masks and stay away from other people. And then all the crime would go away, right? That's probably not exactly.
Well, it's trending that direction.
Hey,
I
wanted to ask you something, Mike, about tonight on the agenda, on the city council agenda, there's a couple of items related to law enforcement trust fund allocation. And I read the backup on them, and they did not have details that were forthcoming to me. Can you just explain what you guys are doing with the money or what you want to do with the money?
Well, it depends on what we're needing at the time. That's different every year. And LETF money is supposed to go to items that we don't currently have. In other words, we can't replace existing items. So the chief of police will sit down with his staff and look and see what the needs are of the department and then use those funds for those needs.
Okay. Which I understand. I think it was something to do with training, but I had always thought LET funds had to go for, you know, physical items, but I guess they cannot. I mean, they can go for all kinds. I guess if they can go to charities that the Escambia County Sheriff's Office often does, I guess they can go to a pretty wide variety of things, including training or things like that. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is. And again, it's just what Chief Leiter and Deputy Chief Christman put together and decide where those funds need to go. That's what they will do with it.
All right. Very good. You know, one of the other items on the agenda tonight is the changes in parking enforcement. It's right now, I guess y'all, the Pensacola Police Department, is responsible for parking enforcement outside of the Downtown Improvement Board's zone. If they take over responsibility from the DIB to the city, I guess that would put all of your officers essentially into some kind of parking duty. How is that going to work? And, you know, do you have people tasked as meter operator? I mean, what's the situation there? What should we expect?
Well, before the DIB was created, the Pensacola Police Department was responsible for it, but we had cadets that worked downtown, and that was their full-time position. And they took care of marking the tires and keeping track of how long vehicles were parked in a certain spot, and then they issued tickets if that was appropriate. And we may go back to that. Again, that's something that if the city does take over the parking, that we will look at and decide the best way to enforce it.
What are you doing right now? Do you have, because you and I had talked about this before, and forgive me, I do not remember what your answer was. What are you doing right now with regards to the parking spaces that are metered but outside the DIB zone? Are you overseeing those right now?
Most of those are privately owned lots.
Okay.
So we don't, and they're looked at around the clock. From my understanding, they're enforced. So that's not something that we enforce.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Obviously, you're well aware that the kind of the big national story right now, aside from COVID-19, is the what's going on in Minnesota. I'm sure you have seen this video, and you know the status. These officers have been terminated from their jobs. The mayor is calling for charges The protesters that are now engaged in what I would describe as rioting are, you know, they're doing all the horrible things that they do. What's the kind of, anytime something like this happens, all law enforcement everywhere pays attention. And because it's, you all kind of get implicated in this very unfortunately. And we know after Ferguson, you have to pay attention to this kind of stuff. How are your officers responding to this?
Well, officers, first of all, they won't tolerate bad cops. We don't need anybody tarnishing the badge and acting out of place and giving us all a bad name. So they're not going to tolerate that. But you mentioned the Michael Brown case in Ferguson, and this is another good example of that. You know, when the news came out and the perception was one thing at first, and then we all found out that it was something very much, there was something very different. So I would urge people, you know, I don't want to comment on this particular case, but I want to urge people to make sure to withhold judgment until all the evidence is in. And the two things that you have to look at the most here, first of all, was this officer or these officers were acting within the policies and procedures of their department? And secondly, what was the cause of death? We have to wait for the autopsy to see what the exact cause of death was. So I would withhold judgment on any of that until that information is given.
Yeah, and look, I mean, you know, ultimately, are we a nation of laws or are we a nation of mob justice? And this is a kind of mob justice response, and you never want to think of that. But, you know, and as you say, always there can be subsequent information. The first look may not turn out to be the ultimate information. I just had somebody text me in the last few minutes and said, if breathing was the issue, how could he say I can't breathe? People who can't breathe enough to speak, which is, that's true. That doesn't make anything the officers did right, but that does raise, it's a question. I don't have the answer to that question. But, you know, yeah. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Yeah, again, it depends on the policies. Is that technique that they use within the policies of the Minneapolis Police Department? That's a question that has to be asked. And as quickly as these officers were terminated, it makes me believe that it was not within policy. And you'll say, well, there was only one officer on this man's neck. Well, there were three others that may not have been, that may have allowed him to go against the policy and not do anything. So again, this is something that's very new. And we had there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered.
How do you teach that to your new cops? And of course, you know, your existing cops hopefully already understand the point, but you know, cops are cops and they police each other in a sense, right? If you see a fellow police officer doing something wrong, that becomes your obligation to fix it, right?
Yeah. You know, you hear, I've heard it a bunch throughout my 33 years that cops protect each other and they're not going to cross that blue line and that sort of thing. And that's something that I've never seen nor would I ever participate in. If they're wrong, they're wrong. And I'm not going to let them bring my career down over something that they did. So, and most officers feel that way. So if you see wrongdoing, it needs to be reported. And it's costing someone, possibly costing someone their life, you have to act immediately. So I don't know of anybody's policy that will allow restricting someone's airway unless deadly force is necessary and justified.
Right, right. Which is, you know, a lot of these cases involve that question of whether deadly force, it's risen to that level or not, you know, and again, based on what we know, the answer looks like a no, but as you say, let's wait and make sure we get all the information. It may be a slow, frustrating process, Justice, but you have to believe, and as law enforcement officers, you and I have talked many times about how you may know the truth of a situation, and it's frustrating to have to wait for the trial, but that's the system that you devote your lives to defending. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, thank you for the time. Thanks for your perspective, and thanks for your service. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Andrew.